Okay, can we stop for a second, actually? Sorry.
This is common gold. Come on, Spencer. You keep going. Well, Spencer, it's going to be tough doing this without Jeremy.
It is. But, you know, we're professionals, and we have to move on. So this starts the first episode post-Jeremy, now that we know for sure he is no longer with us. So anything you want to add to that, Brian?
No, I mean, we're going to have to do a quality show. We're going to have to step it up. You're going to have to be twice the Jew. I'm going to have to be a little more gay. And I think
just a little.
I mean, just a little. But
let's do it, man. You wanna kick it off with the weekly
rant? Guys, I'm back.
Oh, okay. Well.
Oh.
Then welcome to episode 8 of Two Jews and a Gay. I am your host, Brian Martinson, along with the now returning Jeremy Katz.
Hey, hey.
And Spencer Yasmin.
Hey, hey, hey.
Jeremy, we are pleased to have you back. You sorely missed.
We're not gloating. We're just pleased.
your energy was definitely missed. I've had a few friends of the podcast mention that they were looking forward to your return.
I appreciate that. And you know what, guys? It is very refreshing to be talking to a Jew and a gay, because there is not many Jews or gays in Russia. So it is very refreshing. Aww. Yes, there.
Say it ain't so. Even Russia?
Apparently, someone told us that it's illegal to be gay in Russia, which is... they're not really progressing as the rest of the world is, but, you know, small steps.
Brian, close your ears, Brian. Tell me more.
I wasn't planning on...
You know what's great about that is I walked into a restaurant, and no one speaks English in Russia. So I saw behind the bar...
No way.
No one speaks. Behind the bar, there is these two guys holding hands, and I walked up to them, and I kind of did, like, the two symbol. And they literally, like, ran away from each other, like, as if, like, I was not supposed to see that. And I think they thought that I was, like, yelling at them for holding hands. It was really weird. And then I talked to someone later that night who told me that, I guess, you can't be gay in Russia. So, I don't know.
So, what do you mean, the peace symbol? Like, what do you mean you give the
like, you know, like,
symbol?
Me and Dan will walk in and be, like, the, you know, two, like sit down, two people, you know, like, two of us.
They don't speak Russian.
They should have a t-shirt that says, I like that phrase. They should have a t-shirt that says,
you can't be gay. A British lady told us that, so I'm not sure, you know, how real that is. But, like, literally these two guys, like, ran away from each other. Like, it was odd. It was like catching, like, an illicit affair happening. But I was like, no, I just wanted to sit
down.
They
ran away. Were their hands closed, like, fist? Or were their hands, like, you know, like, chopping?
They were interlocked, and then they broke away, you know. And it was nice. I saw love for, like, a good 5 seconds. So it was good to see that.
Well, just Brian, just so you know, you can't be gay in Russia.
I'm not planning on going to Russia anytime soon. So I think I'll be fine. There are plenty of countries in the world where being gay is celebrated, so I'll visit them all.
You denounce the Soviet Union. Just say it.
Well, what are we, like, in the 1980s? The Soviet Union. Come
Nothing's
on.
Changed. Nothing's changed.
All right. Jeremy, so tell us a little bit about your trip, other than the fact that homosexuality is not allowed in Russia.
You can't be gay in Russia. No.
You cannot be gay in Russia.
The trip was great. Obviously, as you guys know, we went to Oktoberfest, and going to Oktoberfest, first of all, we got Lederhosen, and what's funny about Lederhosen is I'm sure you guys have seen movies and what they look like, but what's good in Munich is that every single department store sold Lederhosen. So we bought our Lederhosen from H&M, which was very fashionable. I showed off a lot of leg, like literally.
Are we going to see pictures
there, of it? You'll see pictures of it.
Can we put it on the blog?
I would love to see it on the blog. I think that's where it should be. You know, it's one of those things where, like,
are we going to see pictures from the Israel trip that you went on a year ago?
Those are still coming. Tell your parents they're coming. They're coming. Okay.
Did you delete them? Just be honest. Are they deleted from your phone?
They're on my phone, I believe. So
here's the question.
Cheryl has a right to know.
who has better legs in the Lederhosen? You or Dan?
Who do you think's got the better gams? Come on, how dare you ask that? I got good legs. My thighs, great thighs.
Great thighs?
Great thighs.
I'm not as big as Maurice Jones.
No, he's got some large thighs. But
how big?
So, you know, we're getting ready to go to Oktoberfest. We're in a Lederhosen and we're feeling good. And, you know, as, you know, a male in his 20s who loves women, I've seen lots of photos of beer maidens. And, you know, these beautiful, busty women wearing these, you know, skin-tight outfits, showing a lot of cleavage. So Dan and I, you know, are thinking it's going to be great. There's going to be all these women. It's, you know, it's going to be just a fucking orgy. Literally, it was an international bro fest. It's literally Oktoberfest.
Is it like Euro Trip?
Bros hanging out from all over the world. So
was it like the movie Euro Trip?
Exactly that. There was maybe four girls, and they all had boyfriends. So like, it's like
girls,
yeah, it's bros, girls. From Norway, bros from Australia. So it was a good time. We ended up sitting down at a table with 10 Norwegians, and I think one of the Norwegians actually wanted to bang Dan because every time we took a photo of him and this guy, he kept grabbing Dan's leg. And he kind of kept on Dan's leg for a long time, and like Dan's face instantly was kind of like,
"Are you sure it was Dan's leg?" He was.
Hey, he's got a small penis, probably, but no.
Yeah. Well, we established that on a previous episode.
He did, yeah.
I Brian thought he had a big penis. Well endowed. That's my mental image.
But
hey, so hey, there are no gays in Russia.
It's not. He can't be gay in Russia.
I'm a little hurt now. Like, you know, I know Spencer was hurt that he wasn't invited on the trip, but now given the fact that this is so, you know, so guy-tastic, I'm a little hurt that I wasn't considered, you know,
you would have cleaned up there because I mean, literally, it's just all bros and skin tight leather. So you would have loved it.
Yeah, I probably would not have stayed at a hostel.
Exactly. So anyway, so we're at Oktoberfest, and obviously we're drinking gigantic, you know, steins of beer. You know, with 10 beers or so in a couple hours. Everyone's singing songs, cheers, everyone's feeling good. As the day's progressing, I kind of noticed that Rosenbaum's eyes are, you know, they're starting to get a little bit more closed. His mouth's getting a little droopy.
We have all seen that face.
And actually, I got some great photos that we should put on the blog for that. But Dan's starting to lean over to one side. He then says, "I gotta go to the bathroom." So an hour and a half goes by, and then it dawns on me, Rosenbaum's not here. So I walk in the bathroom.
How drunk are you that it takes you an hour and a half to realize that the only other person you've been speaking to the entire time is
not
you?
I was wasted.
Yeah.
He's got a stein in front of him, man.
Exactly. Come on, a stein. And no women. So I go in the bathroom. And
an hour and a half, though?
If you think the bathrooms in the state bars are horrible, just imagine how disgusting these bathrooms are in Oktoberfest in Munich. I scream, "Dan Rosenbaum." All of a sudden, I hear from the corner stall, "Here." I knock on the door. He opens it up. He's like, "I just threw up my brains and puked everything out of my system. I passed out here." Again, guys, this stall was absolutely disgusting. So we're like, "All right, Dan, well, let's just come back, you know, well, just, you know, hang out." So we start hanging out, and Dan is looking like death. So we're like, Dan's like, "I got to go." So we're like, "You know what, fine, we're going to go say bye to the Norwegian guys." We start walking to get to the train back to the hostel where we're staying at. And I'm like, "Dan, you need some food in your system." And there's a doner kebab shop in Spencer. We had plenty of doner kebabs in Israel. They're delicious. You know, they're pretty much Euros.
Love them.
No one knows what the meat is, but it's delicious. And I thought it'd be a good idea to get it extra spicy. Now, when you get a doner kebab extra spicy, what that means is they make the doner kebab. And on the very first bite, they just put a shitload of spice on there. So I give it to Dan. Dan eats doner kebab on the train. All the spices shoot up into his nose, and guess what he does? He throws up all over himself. So everyone's looking at us. The lederhosen is covered in throw up.
That is living
and
the life.
I put Dan,
did people look at him on the train?
And Dan and I crash at like 6 o'clock p.m. So
that, did everyone on the train like have to move to a different car?
Oh, everyone was just kind of looking at him because it's like, you know, we're wearing lederhosen, and it's just obviously we're not German. And this guy's
stupid Americans.
I still ate the doner kebab. It was delicious. But, yeah.
Well, the show must go on.
So I do have to say, guys, I feel like we – all of us need to do a big trip to Oktoberfest one of these years. It would be a good time. And, you know, Brian.
Oh,
bros.
Now we're invited.
Well, you were always invited.
Dream pending. Dream pending.
The dream affected me. I'm sorry. It really did.
I understand. I don't blame you. Their rumors are they're going to make Final Destination 6 based on your dreams.
Again, guys, I tell you, I
suffer a horrific death.
It was just you and Dan nagging like an old married couple. I shot up when I woke up, and I was just like, thank God that was a dream. So,
all right, we heard the story. Right?
Yes.
Let's move on.
Spencer, I think it's time to throw it over to you for Dirty Talk.
Who, me? Okay, let's do it.
Nailed it.
You know, how to generate some stuff. You know, we just had our last podcast recently, but
which I want to say, you and I have a natural rapport. You know, we didn't need Jeremy or Todd or Derek. Clearly, we didn't need Derek. to make a very successful podcast.
There are rumors that Derek's going to have a rebuttal for your weekly rant. The first rebuttal to your weekly rant. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's if he can get his internet fixed.
Oh, God. Leave the kid alone. All right.
Low blow.
So, like I said, there was only a couple days has passed since the last podcast. I was worried if we're going to have enough for dirty talk. But you know what? Stupidity prevails once again. So let's get into it. First off, Mikey, commenting on this upcoming matchup between Eric and Megan, goes, I like that Megan isn't playing a QB and is still projected to beat Eric by 25 points. Ponder the possibilities.
No, guys, that's actually my quote. The ponder the possibilities is Mikey's joke. I'm the one who actually made that comment on Jeremy.
Copyright
infringement? Brian, you're lying. That's definitely a Gilman comment. So,
no,
very,
ponder the possibilities
very clever
is totally Gilman. I give him credit. But I'm the one who noticed that... that Megan has no quarterback currently slotted to play, and she is still projected to outscore him by 25 points.
How the champ has fallen.
Oh, it's brutal. But we'll cover that in the mid-season review.
You guys like the trade that was made, by the way? Ponder for San Francisco D?
We'll discuss that. We'll,
non-material?
We will discuss that.
All right, let's move on. Okay, the next thing that caught my eye was after this week's games, you know how they give out medals for, like, certain awards? Like, wheeling and dealing, you made a trade. Well, I noticed on Yahoo, our very own Keith Sexton won an award called the underdog. And it goes, underrated. All the experts picked you to lose this week, but you showed them with a big victory. I bet they won't make that same mistake next time. Only Keith would get this kind of... It's like a backhanded compliment, I feel like. You know?
I'm assuming it means that the League Pick'em contest that we're doing, everyone who voted picked his team to lose. I'm guessing that's what the experts mean.
I think that's what it probably means. it's just funny that out of all the people, of course, Keith would be the one to get a backhanded comment from, of all things, a computer.
when Chris Johnson ran for 70 yards, I knew I was doomed. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, Sexton. Piece of shit.
Well, I similarly got completely screwed by Nick's team going.
Yeah, but losing to Nick's team versus Sex. I mean, how can I show myself as a fantasy expert if I'm losing to Keith Sexton? Keith Sexton.
How, I mean,
golly.
How am I supposed to look at myself in the mirror when I know that Nick beat me?
Sexton. What is with our teams? All right, well, we'll move on. But goddamn. Derek Green has a better record than all of us.
Let that sink in for a second.
But he doesn't have more wins than the three of us combined.
That is true. That is true.
Moral
Warshaw victory. Does, but that is true. Warshaw. Warshaw's got some.
Fucking Warshaw. All right. Next one. Apparently there was a debate about pubic hairs between Brian and Linda. Brian thought Jeremy's hairs in his sink were from somewhere other than his face. Once Jeremy explained to Brian that it was indeed just facial hair, Brian responded.
I want to say, hold on.
Let me finish the quote. Come on, it's dirty talk.
Yeah, how dare you? The point is, you then, after you found out they were actually facial hair, you then argue that facial hair is technically pubic hair.
I'll admit my mistake. The assumption that I made was that it was anything generated after puberty. I totally own my mistake. But the far bigger issue, Jeremy, I can't believe you actually brought this up because this makes you look horrible. I go into his bathroom because I have to go to the bathroom. We're watching football games. And I look in his sink, and first I look in his bathtub, and there's standing water in his tub, and he just came back at midnight on Saturday, and this is Sunday at 1. So how there's standing water in his tub, I have no idea. But looking in his sink, it is filled three-quarters full with facial hair, and I come out, and initially I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, he was probably vacationing and didn't get a chance to shave, so I'm thinking he's probably clean shaven, but I can't really recall because it's not something that like really stands out. No, full-fledged beard, or as best of a beard as Jeremy can grow, on his face right now. So that facial hair is from 3 weeks ago, before he left for Germany.
I will say that everyone that's listening to this podcast right now has seen my bathroom and they know exactly what you're talking about. So this is nothing new to people.
It is disgusting.
How much water is in the sink right now, by the way?
You know, it's slowly going down. But Brian was arguing the fact that he says that pubic hair technically is considered facial hair. So
yeah, that was what the whole argument was.
Yeah,
Brian.
And I admit my mistake, and we can move on. But I think the far more disturbing
respect
revelation,
the rules of dirty talk, please. Come on.
Far more disturbing revelation is Jeremy's obscene hygiene habits when it comes to like the upkeep of his bathroom.
It's been a while.
There's ladies that listen to this, all right?
Well, he needs a lady to, like, whip him into shape.
You're hurting his stock. Okay, next up, we have actually three quotes from the returning Jeremy. The first one that caught my eye actually occurred 10 minutes ago. Jeremy goes, we're discussing about, you know, ideas for future podcasts. We really want to incorporate Todd because he was such a huge success. Keep in mind, the most downloaded podcast to date. Jeremy goes, the thing about Todd is he actually makes a lot of sense. I never thought I'd say that.
Jeremy,
is there a specific thing that caught you, that he made a lot of sense because we're still scratching our head.
Shaking my head right now. Todd, I love you, but I've never thought you've ever made sense. And I listening to that podcast, I was like, Todd is making a great sense right now. Maybe I'm dating too old. I mean, I don't know. Like, everyone I date is either my age or older. I mean, do I need to date younger? I mean, 21-year-olds? I mean,
can't hurt.
I went out with my old boss a couple weeks ago. The guy's like 42. He's going out with a 21-year-old. And then Todd's talking about he's dating 19-year-olds. Maybe I'm dating too old. I don't know what's going on here. But, yeah.
What's the age range that you should be dating? You're 27.
Divide that what?
So 13
and a half.
You should
be
basically a
20 and a half year old.
What am I going to talk to a 20 and a half year old about?
The fact that she can't get into a bar.
That is true.
That's actually
I got a better question for you. What is a 20 and a half year old going to talk to you about?
G.I. Joe's. I know a lot about that. X-Men.
Yeah, so Joseph Gordon-Levitt's not going to be a G.I. Joe, too. You don't
say. Although, it's funny. We went to Brian was actually with me. We went to a Westwood, which is where UCLA is, and we're trying to find a bar to go to with Corey's sister, actually. And we walk into this Irish pub, and literally it's a UCLA bar, and like it's like, filled with like 19-year-old girls. And I looked at Brian. I remember saying to him, I should start going here. Why the fuck am I going to nice, swanky cocktail bars where I'm trying to meet women who want guys the money? I should be pulling a Todd Yance by going to these bars and meet 19-year-olds.
I never felt more old and out of place than when I was at that bar. It was like...
I thought it was going to be when you actually talked to Todd. I thought that's what you were about to say.
I might as well have been in Russia. That's how foreign I felt.
Yeah, that's great. Corey's sister loved the bar, though. She was a fan of it, so.
I'll pass it all along. The next up one from Jeremy was, you know, we've been trying to get Dan to listen. Not to be on the show, but just to listen.
Of course, Dan's banned.
It's a little distaste. It kind of disgusts me that Dan is probably the only member of the league that does not listen to the podcast.
I don't think Keith listens.
And, what?
I don't think Keith listens.
Well, that's a little disheartening, too, because we sure talk about Keith a lot. But Jeremy asked Dan, you know, will you listen to the podcast? And Dan goes, you three are the gay mafia of the league. That's his reasoning for not listening, because we're the gay mafia.
Dan felt that the podcast was the three of us talking about A, ourselves, and B, our teams. And I kept telling Dan, like, Dan, we're talking about you. We're talking about Gilman. We're talking about Sexton. Like, you listen to this. We interview Nick. He's talking about you. And I think my biggest accomplishment in the entire trip was the fact that I finally convinced Dan Rosenbaum to listen to the podcast. We'll see if he does. But, yeah, he referred to us as the Gay Mafia, which I found comical. And then, Brian, I don't know if you've ever been referred to as the Gay Mafia, but you should feel special.
I'm confused by this because you're not gay, first of all. And I'm not a gay with any power. I'm just like nobody fears me. No one thinks like, oh, we can't upset Brian. He's gonna set the gay mafia off.
So I heard they're gonna do a Sopranos remake. Off of the gay crew.
So Dan, hopefully you're listening right now, and gentlemen, we'll find out if he is.
I hope he's listening. Those steel blue eyes. Listen, Dan. Please listen.
The last Jeremy quote was, you know, he listened to the podcast while he was away, so we appreciate that. And apparently he was responding to a Dirty Talk quote that was directed at him. If you recall, Corey was not very pleased with Jeremy for making me stay up late to do a podcast. And, you know, Corey had some very harsh words for Jeremy. Well, Jeremy responds to me, I want to respond to Corey telling her to suck it, but I'm not going to. Well,
you oh, come on. You fooled me there.
Fooled you.
I got no comment about that. I was in the car with Brian actually listening to the podcast at that point, and I had no comment. I'm gonna be the bigger man, and I'm not going to say anything. But if I were to address Corey Feldman, the actor, I would probably tell Corey Feldman, the actor, that A, go to sleep, B, go in the room, or C, stay in your own place. We want Spencer for, you know, 45 minutes. Give us Spencer for 45 minutes. So,
wow.
Would you tell him would you tell the actor to maybe hold off on the ice cream?
Oh, I would tell him to go, you know, face deep in the ice cream.
All right. Moving on.
There's more Dirty Talk.
There's a couple more, man. You don't rush Dirty Talk, all right? Come on. I asked – I wanted to get a feel for some people about what their midpoint review of their team, what they felt about it. So I asked Eric. Eric responded with – I asked Eric, what's your midpoint review of your team? Eric goes, underperforming big time, but a lot of upset.
Like a bride just laughing already.
He always optimistic, that kid.
Oh, Eric.
the next one is Derek. And I asked Derek, and both these guys really delivered how you would expect them to. So you got the thing from Eric. Here's what you get from Derek. Can I share a quote? A thought-provoking quote. He asked me both as question marks. I go, okay. He goes, I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment of all that he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious.
Was that also from Mike Gilman?
I think it's a reference to Jackie Battle, right?
I don't know. I was so dumbfounded by what he said. I just wanted to throw it out to you guys, see if you had anything to make.
I will say Derek is, and again, I believe, you know, I think the plan is to have him on next week and, you know, defend himself. But, you know, I think Derek took a beating in the past couple podcasts, and I think he's kind of been the whipping boy last season because his team was so shitty, yet he made the finals, and he's trying to prove that he's a fantasy expert. And once again, guys, he's ahead of us in the standing. So I don't know what's going on in that mind of his, but something's working. I mean, our teams fucking suck.
He keeps on trucking. The last thing I got was just an article I saw today. Not really a quote, but just concerning A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez. Apparently, he gets benched in Game 2 of the American League Championship, you know, halfway through the game. He gives a bat boy a baseball to go give to this hot model, and on it asks for her digits. I don't get this guy. I mean, it's unbelievable, but he, you know what? He's making $25 million a year, so he's doing something right. But I'm glad to see
we should ask Todd what he thinks of that move.
Oh, he's gonna try it out sometime. So, those are the Dirty Talk quotes of the week. I do have one I'm going to save for a little bit later because it has to do with something else, but I'm going to have a segue now. Jeremy, there is something else I wanted to bring up, but I'd rather you talk about it. Something about Europe you discussed with me concerning you and Dan. You guys were kind of approached by somebody and had some questions your way. You want to share with us that?
I'm ready to do this. So we were in Prague, and as I'm going to the airport, my brother is driving me. He tells me that in Prague, the hostels do what they call bar crawls. And Eric telling me, oh, it's so great, you know, you meet all these women, it's so easy to get laid, like, I met all these girls, blah, blah, blah. So obviously I'm, you know, smile from ear to ear, as you guys have all seen. And me and Dan get to the hostel in Prague, and we see these flyers for a bar crawl. So, you know, Oktoberfest didn't really pan out the way we wanted it with the girls. So we're like, all right.
It's getting warmer,
exactly.
Though. Getting warmer.
So these flyers have, like, half-naked women. It's, like, all these young girls. It's, like, going on these bar crawls. It's great experience. Real Prague. So we sign up, and me and Dan, you know, we're looking suave. We're feeling good. A couple of beers in our system. The bar crawl starts, and it's actually a bro crawl. shit you not, it's literally 50 dudes and 4 disgusting fat girls. Now, I will say these 4 fat girls are slutting it up.
Festivities?
But what's up?
So many bro festivities. What's going on out there?
They're Australian men.
Turns out they're all in America right now.
Yeah, I know, right? So anyway, so we're doing the bro crawl, whatever. We're going to check it out. And there's this Moroccan guy who's very friendly. You know, he's Moroccan, so his English is not so hot. And as the night progresses, he's talking a lot with us, very friendly. He keeps referring to places as GF. You know, if you've been to this bar, it's GF, GF. And I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Dan then leans over to me and goes, I think he's gay. I'm like, okay, whatever. He's a nice enough guy. And the night comes, and he comes up to us, and he pretty much propositions a threesome between Dan, him, and myself. And we're like, oh, no, we're not gay, we're not gay. And he looks at us and goes, you're joking, right? We're like, no, we're not gay. He's like, no, you guys are kidding, you're gay. He then points at me and goes, you're a top, and then he points to Dan and goes, you're definitely a bottom. So I think that was I thank you, I appreciated that. Dan was actually a little insulted. And Dan was
well, first of all, Jeremy, I'm insulted that you would have – that you would insinuate there's anything wrong with being a bottom.
But you're not a bottom, though, right?
I'm versatile, which means that I will at times bottom.
But if you had to prefer between being a top and a bottom, you would say what?
I think it totally depends on whom I'm dating at the time.
Let's say Spencer is gay. The first time you guys hook up, are you a bottom or a top?
Hello!
Oh, no, I'm totally a top.
You're going to pound him?
I'm going to pound him back to regularity. I'm going to pound his ass back to regularity.
You'll be shitting a storm. That's what you – Spencer, actually, a little segue. That's what you need, though. Oh,
does Corey have a strap on that you can
– Are you really?
Update. I'm finally seeing a doctor. I've given in.
And are you're eating finally a lot of bran and stuff?
All right, let's move on. I mean, tons of fiber. I don't want to talk about it. Let's move on. If you heard the last podcast, I did. That was very worked up about that, this, right?
No, but yeah, seriously, there's to our listeners, there's nothing wrong with being a bottom, and don't let Jeremy tell you otherwise.
Okay.
Is that it for Jeremy's contribution to Dirty Talk?
Yes. Dirty Talk is over. Like I said, there is a bonus, but I'm going to save it. First, I think we should move on to weekly rant, but I think, Brian, if you don't mind, you know, talking to Jeremy, he had something he wanted to speak about, and I'm kind of intrigued to see where he's going with this because it's a hot topic in the local Dallas market.
Brian, may I?
Absolutely. I do reserve the right to cut you off if I find this rant not satisfying.
Oh,
anything
Jesus
less is unacceptable. Holy so Moses. Obviously, we spent a lot of the podcast talking about football, but all of us are knowledgeable in sports, and with the NBA season, you know, just around the corner, there's a certain NBA player who's really getting under my skin, and...
Felton Spencer?
No, but he... Felton Spencer. No one else other than Todd and maybe... It's going to get that reference, but I
know who Felton Spencer is.
You know who
is.
Felton Spencer is, really? In high school, me and Spencer used to look for Felton Spencer jerseys. So he'd have a jersey that said Spencer on it.
I mean, you could get one in every jersey. It was on every team at one point.
Oh, my God. He was so bad. I'm sorry. I can't do this right now.
Are you okay?
Okay, guys.
What do you want me to say? Matt Harperin? Harper, you in better? David Wingate? I'm going to the Knicks?
Okay, guys.
All right, come on.
So, I'm all happy now. I need to be angry. Okay.
Let's go bail.
Okay. So, my weekly rant is against Darren fucking Williams. So, as most of you know, I'm a diehard Maverick fan. Spencer's a Maverick fan. My brother's a Maverick fan. I love the Mavericks. Our whole plan during the offseason was we're going to go after the hometown boy, Darren Williams, because all hometown boys want to play in their hometowns. And whatever. We made the pitch for him. He chose the New Jersey Nets. You know what? I wasn't angry about that because deep down inside, no one wants to play for the hometown. So I knew that Williams would go to the Nets. Whatever. It's you know, it's flashy. It's Brooklyn. I'm cool with that. He then does interview after fucking interview being like, I was so close signing with the Mavs. Next interview, I woke up that day wanting to sign with the Mavs. Fuck off, you son of a bitch. Whatever. Anyway, he then says, "Oh, but the New Jersey Nets, they made some moves. I mean, if Dirk went down, who do they have? The Nets, they got Joe Johnson, the worst fucking contract in all of sports. I shit you not, that is the worst contract in sports.
They did bring back Chris Humphries, though.
Gerald Wallace. Fuck, Gilman comes out to me and goes, Nets got Gerald Wallace. They're making good moves. Gerald Wallace? Are you kidding me? The guy, Gerald fucking Wallace. All right. Anyway, I digress.
Mikey.
Whatever.
Only Mikey would be
I know,
like,
right?
Yeah, Gerald
so,
Wallace.
Okay, so I was upset with Williams. I got over it because I know deep down inside I knew he would stay with the Nets. I'm in fucking Russia. I'm like, I want to check out ESPN. I want to find out if Tebow's finally a starter. One of the headline stories is that Mark Cuban...
That's what you wanted to find out?
Mark Cuban responds to Darren Williams. I'm like, oh, God, what's this going to be? I love Cuban, but he opens his mouth a lot. I click on the article. I then find out that, what was it, a week ago, that Williams had another fucking interview where he said that during the Mavericks pitch, Mark Cuban, I guess, was filming his reality show, Shark Tank or something like that.
Shark Tank.
And
are you using quote air quotes when you describe this as a reality show?
Apparently it's popular, and actually Gilman's a fan of it as well, but...
You never watch it? I love that show. I watch it every Friday.
It's like, yeah, he's like Donald Trump, but for, what, entrepreneurs?
It's just people pitch their ideas for, you know, businesses, and him and four other sharks decide if they want to make an investment on it or not.
Anyway, so Darren Williams... During the pitch they had for Darren Williams, I guess Cuban was in L.A. filming this. Darren Williams then goes on a radio show and says he was going to sign with the Mavs, but the fact that Mark Cuban didn't show up to the pitch made him realize, you know what, I don't want to come to Dallas if he's got bigger and better priorities than pitch me. I kid you not, I went on a 10-minute rant of Rosenbaum. This piece of shit is just sticking it to every Maverick fan. We are sad you did not come to us. Let that be it. Okay? Go away. Yet he keeps opening up his mouth, and it makes me so goddamn angry. And you know what? He's the reason Jerry Sloan retired. Fucking Darren Williams. That's all I got to say about that. I don't know, Spencer. I mean, as a Maverick fan, it just really pisses me off.
I think at the end of the day, he needs to have strong conviction. And it's funny. You see this now with him and Dwight Howard. The only guy that made a decision in the NBA that was like, I'm doing this and that's it, and then never looked back was LeBron James. And for some reason, LeBron James takes the most shit out of everybody. But he just said, look, I'm done. I'm going to Miami. I don't want to be here in Cleveland anymore. You guys need to make the team better. And he's never looked back. He's never made apologies. So it's just interesting how these other guys kind of get some slack, you know, thrown their way. But for some reason, LeBron James is like the biggest villain ever, when really – he gave them 8 years of his career, and he's ready to move on. They didn't make the team any better. The only thing I disagree with you is you left out how Cuban responded to
it was
the
immature.
Whole thing.
I get that.
It was very Cuban-like. I find Cuban to be very immature, very childish. Cuban's like, oh, I guess he's saying he doesn't really believe in New Jersey's ownership and management. I guess that if it comes down to me not being there, then he really doesn't think much of the Nets. It's all about me and everything. It's just like... I agree, Darren Williams, like, you obviously are flip-flopping like Dwight Howard did. You don't know really what you want to do. You're for some reason, you're worried about your 10 boys back in the colony giving you shit for not coming to Dallas. Who cares? Just move on. I get why he didn't want to come to Dallas. He's going to – people don't want to go home because then they have to do favors for all their buddies back home. It's like he travels – it's not like he can't – he's a millionaire. It's not like he can't travel to Dallas anytime he wants. So I get all that, but I agree he shouldn't be – you know, going back and forth. But really, what pissed me off more than anything is actually the Mark Cuban thing. Because I do watch Shark Tank as a regular, I got to say, he's really annoying. Like, let's be honest about Mark Cuban. The guy's a billionaire because he sold something to Google. You know, like, he had an internet idea and it took off. Good for him. But he's not as business savvy as he thinks he is. Like, he hasn't started up a bunch of, like, businesses from scratch and made, you know, he got hot on one idea, and there's a lot of speculation if it was really his business or the other guy, the silent guy that apparently just ceases to exist anymore. So Mark Cuban needs to chill out too. So I guess in a way I'm taking your weekly rant and making a weekly rant on Mark Cuban.
I will say, to quote George Costanza, Darren Williams, he's sticking it, Jerry. He's sticking it. So
yeah, he definitely needs to, you know, hopefully the Mavs can rebound this year. But that weekly rant was – opportunity for me to give my final last Dirty Talk quote. When we discussed that Jeremy wanted to do this earlier today, Brian responds, who's Darren Williams? So, finally, Brian, I got to give you credit, Brian. It took you eight episodes, but you have been the biggest sports gay guy I probably met to date. You know, you have been on top of things. You've broken down stereotypes, and you said, I'm gay, but I know sports. But finally, you exposed yourself. So I just wanted to bring that up. We're not going to hold it against you, but you did have a little slip up there, not knowing who Darren was.
Brian does know who Luke Ridenour is.
And Felton Spencer.
He does, he does.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
What's it like to be a Timberwolves fan? Just out of curiosity.
It's tough. Kevin Love broke his hand. It's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. Heard about that.
Well, what can you do? I mean, you have to remember, if you're a Minnesota sports fan, you're really used to disappointment. So,
who's the sexiest Timberwolves on the team right now?
Oh, Kevin Love, hands down.
What about
down.
J.J. Barea?
No.
What about the point guard?
No, Kevin Love, like, even with one good hand, he could hold me
If it was you and Kevin Love, would you be a top or bottom?
Oh, bottom. That big frame? Absolutely. Like, done.
Get him
whatever
some water.
Whatever he wanted to do, I'd be down.
What about it back when Sam Cassell played for the Timberwolves?
He looks like some weird black melted plastic.
I like to say black.
Would you let him stick it? Would you let him put his head literally in your ass?
No. Ugh.
What about Latrell Sprewell? Like, if you hooked up with him, you might have to check your wallet afterwards.
I wouldn't sleep with anybody with cornrows.
What about Wally Szczerbiak?
Oh, he was, yeah.
Good hair. He was totally good hair.
Great
so
hair.
So you like the dark hair guys. Okay, I'm just making a note here. I see what's going on.
Yeah, I like tall guys with dark hair.
Sorry, let Luke Ridenour down easy.
I'll do what I can.
Now it's time of the podcast for Mikey's Picks of the Week. Take it away, Mikey.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another week of Magic Mikey's Picks of the Week. Locks of the century, locks of the season, locks of the Boys Will Be Boys Cotton podcast. 3-0 last week. Let me just say that again. 3-0 last week. Seahawks. Broncos. You know what? I'm going to throw it out there and say 3-0 again this week. Here we go. Three more winners. Take it to the bank. Game number one. Browns plus 2.5 against the Colts. Browns are 5-1-1 against the spread on the road and 7-2-1 in their last 10 against the spread. Browns are just one of those good, bad teams. They're going to beat the Colts. Game number two, Vikings and the Cardinals. 6.5 points are given to the Cardinals, so I'm taking the Vikings at -6.5. This game isn't about the Vikings winning as much as the Cardinals losing. Arizona is 7-14 in their last 21 against the spread on the road. They're 2-8 on their last 10 on turf, and they still can't figure out their QB situation. Vikings, -6.5. Last game, probably the most boring game of the weekend, but where the most money can be made. Jags, Raiders, taking the Jacksonville Jaguars +4. Jags are 4-0 against the spread versus the Raiders, and they're 5-2 against the spread in their last 7 road games. No one cares, but you should care. Take the Jags and take it to the bank. Once again, we got Browns +2.5, Vikings -6.5, Jags +4. Have a good week, everyone.
Thanks again, Mikey. Be sure to tune in next week for his Week 8 picks.
All right. I think it's time now to introduce our very new segment. We're very excited to have one of the loyal listeners of the podcast joining us, Amy Sachs. Good friend of the podcast. Spencer, you have met Amy, correct?
I did meet her last time I was out there.
She's an absolute doll, a treasure, very opinionated. We cannot be happier to have her on the podcast. I have to introduce the new segment. So welcome, everyone, to the podcast, Amy Sachs. Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yay. It's kind of a devilish laugh.
Everyone might want to put down their volume a little bit.
Yeah, definitely turn down your volume for me.
You shouldn't be nervous, Amy. We are all friends here. We're going to treat you with kid gloves. So, Amy, one of the things that I personally love about you is you are completely open and honest about your sexuality. You acknowledge that the female body is a sexual entity, and you fully embrace it. And I, for one, really admire that. I think it's something that I should actually be doing more in my gay interactions, because I feel I'm a little too cautious and a little too prudish, and I think people could learn a lot from your kind of mindset.
Well, that's so very
why don't you tell us a little bit about how you approach sexuality in general?
Oh, wow. So this is not going to have my full name on it, right? Like when people search me?
No.
Okay. So,
and if you want, we can definitely disguise your voice.
No,
no, no. Dub your voice to this, like, this creepy old guy. Dub your voice.
Also, Amy, tell everyone what kind of man you like to.
Oh, God. Okay. So my view on sexuality, I mean, I think we're all sexual beings. And I think if you don't really feel that way, then you probably have some stuff to work out. But yeah, it's actually kind of why I became a therapist, is because I noticed in all my friends, like, girls specifically, like, are not comfortable. And I just feel like everybody should be comfortable, that, like, it's a really natural thing and it can be really wonderful, like, definitely better if you have, like, you know, feelings and whatever for the person. But yeah, whatever, like, it's a great thing. And as long as you're being safe, and that's something I have to talk to some people on this podcast about, as long as everybody's being safe, then everything's
Spencer,
great.
Are you not
Sorry.
Being safe?
My bad.
Not everybody on this podcast always uses condoms, and everybody should all the time.
Wow.
Oh,
I think that is.
Are you going to name names?
Well, I can tell you it's not me, mainly because I don't do things that generally require condoms.
I thought
you were
going to
give us
that
Brian
road.
That because you
I
haven't
like
had sex since April.
It's pretty clear. It's fine. Let's continue. Okay, so second question, what kind of guy do I like? It's typically a Jew.
Plenty of those.
Sorry, Brian.
I mean, they haven't all been, but typically. I used to always say, like, give me curly hair and a big nose, and I'm super happy. But Whoa. They don't all fit that bill. But yeah, usually a Jew. Doesn't have to be a stoner, but I like that mentality. Typically.
A little more easygoing, not so high strung.
Easygoing. I need somebody to balance out what I have going on.
you like paying for dinner?
You know, honestly, like, I feel like the first date, I think it's a good idea to pay for dinner. Just so that
But if you go out with a stoner, don't you think you're always gonna pay for
dinner?
Stoners
pay. Stoners totally pay.
They do?
Definitely.
Plus they're always hungry.
Just checking.
But no, I think that people should split when they go on dates. Like, I don't think it's fair, but I think I always definitely feel good. Like, I always offer. I always offer to split, even if I, like, know it's not going to happen, because I think that it could happen and I wouldn't feel bad about that. But I do feel better.
You obviously haven't gone out on a date with girls.
But I do feel better when the guy pays, which usually I think always happens.
It's actually a very difficult minefield for gay men to navigate, because when you make the effort to pay and say, oh, I'm going to cover this, it definitely establishes a kind of a dynamic, a power dynamic within even the first few interactions
within
the relationship. So you have to be very mindful of that, I think, when you're dealing with gay relationships, that you don't try to, like, put off a false sense of what you're looking for out of the relationship. Because I, for one, am not like an alpha dog kind of type. I think it's polite to offer to pay for a dinner for someone that I've asked out.
Yeah.
But I don't want to give off the mindset or the attitude that I'm going to be always going to do it, and I'll be the one who takes care of you kind of thing. So it's a very interesting kind of dynamic that people have to deal with when you're dealing with gay relationships.
And that's actually how I feel, is that, like, whoever asks the person out should probably pay for it. So when I ask somebody out, I totally, like, assume that I'm going to pay for it. It doesn't always happen, but I assume I'm going to.
Jeremy, could you see you and I purposely becoming gay because we think that we're going to get free meals out of it?
I can picture you and I on a date and we're both at the check comes and we're both kind of waiting for you to take it, you're waiting for me to take it, and it's kind of just standoff. So.
And then we're both like, you know, I'm not even gay. What are we going to lie? What are we doing
it's
on
beautiful.
This?
Beautiful. Let's write it. Get it going.
So, Amy, I've known you now for a number of years, mm-hmm. And we've shared a lot of very interesting stories about our loves and our what happens when you are in love.
You mean our sexual escapades?
Our sexual escapades. That is a great way to put it. Fewer, in my case, especially lately,
aww.
A bit of a dry spell. That's fine. But you have a very strong opinion about what women should be willing to do in certain sexual acts.
Okay, I think you're mischaracterizing it a little bit. But that
me?
Just because,
mischaracterize okay. something?
I have very never. Strong opinions about
everything.
Yes, that's very true. But like on that, I think that people should do what they're comfortable with, but I think that people should work to like grow their comfort zone. And like in order to do that, you have to be like a little bit like out there on a limb and like a little uncomfortable, but like yeah. Like, yes and no, I agree with what you said. But yeah, yes.
I'm going to be direct here.
Do it.
Because I was trying to, like, intimate this, but sometimes just going for it's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
When you're blowing a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yowzers.
What is your opinion about what the guy, like, what's the etiquette, both from the male perspective and the female perspective? What are you expecting when things get close to finish?
Okay, well, I like how you worded this question. It's a little bit differently than I thought, but I'm really happy because I do have 2 points that might be a little surprising. Or not surprising, but we didn't discuss it. So first, something that I just feel like I should say, because every once in a while, it'll still happen. It hasn't happened to me in a long time, but like, gentlemen, don't ever, ever touch somebody's head in like trying to get head, like when you're like don't push them down, like that's the worst thing that's ever happened, and it's stupid and like makes you look like a middle schooler.
See, what I do though is I do the hair
you can
brush
ask.
Back
no that's so obnoxious any
no,
of that is
you're
obnoxious.
So smooth.
Like, listen, I have no problem with you saying like go ahead and like, you know, okay, but I'm talking about starting the blowjob.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm talking about starting it. Like, ask for it if you want.
Has a guy ever done that to you? Has a guy ever pushed your head down there?
Not actually pushed, but, like, they've made a motion like they were...
Interesting, yeah.
Like, not even... Just kind of, like, alluding to a push, but
Spencer,
not actually
has
pushing.
A guy ever pushed your head down there?
Several times, and I've revolted.
But it happens. You'd be surprised every once in a while. Okay, but not...
Do you think, Amy, do you think it's like a... Do you think it's something they see in porn and they're trying to be, like, controlling, you know? Do you
yeah,
think that's what's
I
going
think
on?
A lot of what you see when you're having sex is because guys watch porn. Like, definitely.
Yes,
very
yes.
clear that, like, oh, you saw that somewhere. But no, I also think it's, like, because in high school and middle school that shit works. And so they keep doing it.
So you're saying that they obviously had such undeveloped game when they were in high school.
No, I think it's more the girls have such low self-esteem.
Jeremy, who are we hanging out with in middle school?
Yeah, first off, you know, our weekly rant next week is all these kids getting laid in middle school. Spencer and I were not getting laid in middle school.
Hey. 20,
Jeremy, you
want to
see Titanic at 7 o'clock
oh
tonight?
You fantastic. Well, Amy, let me ask you this, though. When you're blowing a guy, like I mentioned
okay.
before, I do the hair brush back. So I like to watch. 75% of the time it's dark, so I can't see a thing. But I like to pretend I can see something. But, like,
Jeremy,
how do you feel if you're blowing
a
guy and I brush your hair back?
I love it.
Ooh.
I love it. Like, yeah. Hold my hair for me. All of that's great. And, like, that typically has to happen anyways because I have a lot of hair. And if I don't put it back,
what about,
they typically hold it
What
for
about
me.
Brady?
Oh, my God. That what would be that? Awful. That would be so scary.
I mean, should a guy bring a scrunchie when they have sex with you?
Oh, my God, no. I usually have one. But, like... Like, it's also kind of like, I can't believe I'm saying this. It's like kind of sexy to like have it down and then like have him, like, Jeremy, it's a good move, is what I'm saying. Like, I like, oh, I'd like to watch you. Like, it's sexy. That's good.
I have to say, and little props to Jeremy, every time he's, you know, Jeremy and I are very close, so he tells me about some of his escapades. And every time, he has some of the best fucking moves I've ever heard of. Like, what he does to women just works. And I have to, like, if I was wearing a hat right now, I would totally tip it to Jeremy. Keep up the good work.
I want
to
hear some more. I did that one time,
come on a girl's thigh who passed out on me, so... Not everything I do works, but, you know, I appreciate the
it balances out.
Okay,
but so as for other notes for finishing, another important one is let us know it's about to happen. Because...
And you know what's...
Well, it's just polite.
Amy, because of you, I started doing that. I never used
I'm
to do that.
I'm so glad.
Now I do that.
That's, I mean, seriously, like, being surprised by that and, like...
What a gentleman.
I'm confused. I'm shocked that you wouldn't be telling them before.
Well, I would say, oh, shit, and I figured, oh, shit, was kind of like, it's
no,
coming.
That,
but...
not,
that could
that
happen at any
an
time.
Heads up.
At any time, I could do something so great that you say, oh, shit, or, like, whatever. That doesn't actually say anything.
I can put
it. Most of my dirty talk, by the way, is, oh, oh, fuck, oh, yeah, oh, shit.
Oh,
I don't know.
Jeremy.
I like the oh.
Jeremy, especially with your track record, they might think you actually cheated.
That is true.
You maybe need to do it with something else.
But because of Amy, I've given the heads up, and Amy, I do think that's good advice. So.
Yes, I definitely.
Well, plus, I just think it's kind of hotter when you know that they're getting close.
Oh, my God, it's so much
and
hotter.
Then,
that's
and then
also...
you can kind of go with the gusto and be like, oh, yeah, I'm totally finishing you off right now.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, do you...
Amy, what about, you know, you're talking about, like, if they grab the hair and everything, what if, like, someone like Jeremy, like, starts patting your head when he's, like, getting closer? He just pats a lot closer. Would that work?
Only if you've discussed it beforehand. Okay, I'm going to tap you
Jeremy,
a lot
that
right before. That's awful.
Only it.
That's
all of a sudden, Jeremy starts using both hands, patting back and forth.
Oh, my God, drumming. no, I don't prefer that method.
That would go with braiding your hair, too. You'd be very Jamaican
very
then.
Very bizarre.
But as for the rest of etiquette surrounding that, listen, we've discussed this before. I think that girls should swallow. I think it's just, it makes sense. But also, okay, so it's etiquette, but it's also just smart. Because if you don't like it, first of all, you shouldn't be doing it, and you should work on liking it, because it's great. But second,
Amen.
If a girl doesn't want to swallow because she thinks it's gross or whatever, like, first of all, you already have had your, like, face in a dick for a while. Like, get over it. Like, there's nothing, like, it doesn't get worse than, like, though I love them, they're great. But it's like,
me too.
That's the issue. It's not the cum. So... I understand having some qualms or whatever, but the simple fact of the matter is, like, this is basically medically speaking, when you swallow and, like, you taste it for a little while, but, like, if you drink a little bit of water or whatever, it'll be gone in a few minutes.
Or Diet Coke.
If you have something flavored, it'll be gone in one sip. But water, it'll take a couple minutes. But if you spit...
Fascinating,
totally.
By the way. Fascinating.
If you spit, like, when you spit, it's so hard to describe, especially, like, without you seeing my face. Like, on the inside of your lip, it, like, both lips, it gets a little bit, like, it changes texture. Like, the inside of your lip changes texture, and it's almost, it's not raw, but it's just, like, it's almost like, you know, a couple skin cells are, like, gone from, like, the act of spitting.
Oh.
And so then... The flavor of the cum stays in your lips, honestly, until the next day. Like, when you wake up the next morning, you can still taste it a little bit.
So you're,
like,
you're tasting jizz for a good 12 hours.
Totally. If you spit, you will keep tasting it. Like, maybe not 12 hours necessarily. It depends on the size of the load, probably.
Hey-o.
But, and, like, the... force with which you spit, like, I feel like that would, I mean, listen, I haven't spat in years and years and years. Like, this is
atta girl. Yeah,
like, why would you? Because, like, I figured this out, like, it tastes worse, and, like,
it's,
I think,
nature's nectar.
Yeah, it doesn't work, and it, like, it, I don't get it. And, like, I understand, like, maybe you have an issue with it, like, I'm not gonna, like, judge you for that, like, but I do think that, like, you know, you should work on that because it's a beautiful thing and wonderful. And like, if you enjoy having it done, like you should enjoy doing it. But whatever, those are my own personal.
I completely agree.
Good for you, Amy. I love
it. But no, yeah, no, I just feel like it's stupid for all of these girls who think that spitting is like the better thing to do because they don't like going down on guys. Like, it's crazy. It's so much worse.
Interesting you say that because during college and pre-college, the majority, 90% of the girls I was with would swallow. Post-college, adulthood, most of them are spitting nowadays. So I don't know what's going on.
No way.
But,
seriously?
Yeah. I mean, and not only that, but like, listen, the fact that a girl has puts her mouth on my penis, I am so grateful for that. I'm on my hands and knees, first of all. Okay, so they can do whatever they want with it. They can spit in my face for all I care. But the fact
I seriously I doubt you would feel fine with that.
I disagree with that statement, but
that
sure.
Is,
I don't know.
You don't know. Like, you don't know this
so
guy.
What happened at the
you
end?
You don't know this
oh, yeah,
guy.
She
just would
spit my load right in my eye. Like,
we're all calling shenanigans.
But there's that awkward moment.
No, this guy, I believe it.
There's that awkward moment for me where it's like, because my bathroom is right next to my room. So let's say the girl does her thing. She gets up and kind of, you know, hurriedly,
goes to the bathroom.
You know, walks quickly to the bathroom. And then there's that second room kind of sitting there like, all right. Waiting, and all of a sudden I hear the pop, and it's just
oh
like
God,
that awkward
awful.
Moment where you're like, oh, like I just
that's
heard
so...
you spit out really disgustingly. So,
is that like a big
and then
turn
meanwhile,
off?
After she spits
it's a turn
out,
off, yeah, cause, I mean, I don't want to hear her you know, it's like, hey, but
Jeremy, meanwhile, after she spits out, then she's making a noise like, oh, why is this bad?
No, that is she knows what she's getting herself
into. Yeah, it's entirely possible the reaction you're hearing is just her seeing your toilet.
No, oh, that is true though. Come on.
But like, I don't know. I feel like it's a turn off that way. And isn't it like a turn on when a girl swallows?
Oh, it's a huge turn on.
Right?
Well,
I don't understand these
me.
Girls. This is crazy.
And Brian, I take it you always swallow when you're with a male
companion. It's not a turn off for me when a girl swallows.
Brian, I imagine you.
Very
you're
nice.
Not
Why
you're
not
spitting, Brian, are you?
What was that?
You're not spitting, are you?
Oh, no, never.
Good for you.
Never. It's idiotic.
I take it like a champ.
So, Amy, when's the last time you spit?
Oh, my God. I mean, seriously, probably. I don't even know if I ever spit in college.
What presidential administration was
it? I think only high school did I spit. I think by college I had figured it out.
Those lucky SOBs.
Clinton's administration?
No, not Clinton. That was, right?
Bush?
I think Bush.
Bush Senior? Oh, my God.
Well, actually, it could have been Clinton. No, Bush.
Dear God.
I think it was not first Bush.
Jimmy Carter?
Debbie.
How old
all
are
right,
you?
All right.
Let's assume Clinton. You know, 93 to 2001.
No, I think it would have been 2000.
That's still, that's Clinton.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. All right.
No. Wait.
Hey, just like our Jew Monica.
No. I was saying it was after 2000. Like, it was W.
During the November elections?
Listen, oh my God, I can't say this. I know that senior year was when, that was 2003. Like, yes, it was Bush. Yeah.
2003.
Yeah.
All right. I think this was very enlightening.
what
I'd like
minute.
To do, I think, is have this be a semi-recurring segment. We'll work out the details with Amy about exactly how it's going to work.
And you'll give me
but
an accurate time of when
I kind of like the
we'll
idea
start.
Of having any of our loyal listener write in, have a question or two. Amy is a trained, has her master's degree. Amy, what do you have your master's degree in specifically?
In social That's... work. I am a trained therapist.
So this is not just some fly-by-night woman who's dispensing advice. She's a real trained expert.
And
so...
I even went to a lunchtime talk with a sex therapist. So I have a tiny bit of training.
What was for lunch? What was
I
for
think
lunch?
We brought our own lunch, but it was
aww.
Talk during grad school, whatever.
All right, Amy. Once again, we really do thank you for joining us. It's great having you
Definitely
on the podcast.
Is.
Our
let's,
first female
let's
member.
Let's let Amy get the plug in, by the way.
Oh, Amy. nobody can come onto the podcast without doing a little bit of a plug. I understand that you may be selling some homemade.
Oh, I didn't even realize what you were talking about. Yes, I make bracelets. I think you were going to say jewelry.
Yes.
So Meshuggy Jewelry. It's on Facebook. Meshuggie. Buy them for the ladies in your life. Mm-hmm. They'll love them. And
every
bracelet super cheap, under $20.
Every bracelet that's bought, one is donated to a girl at Spitz. So,
Amy, once again, we really thank you for joining us. It was a pleasure having you on, ladies and gentlemen. Amy Sachs.
Yay.
Thank you, Amy, for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you joining us and introducing the new segment.
And thank you, Amy, for that erection. Jesus Christ. Felt amazing.
Second.
If Amy had a nickel for every time she was thanked for an erection, she'd be doing all right.
She likes sex.
Let's move now over the mid-season review. We're starting week 7 Thursday night on the Thursday night games. So we're almost at the halfway point of the season. And I think it's time to do a little mid-season review, see what we think the biggest surprise, the biggest disappointing team has been so far. Spencer, what are your thoughts? Biggest surprise.
What's that?
Biggest surprise team of the season.
Biggest surprise would probably have to be Warshaw. I don't, you know, and I'm doing this based on kind of what our reviews of some of these teams were. And I'd probably put Derek up there too. I think Derek and Adam have both really upped their game and, you know, made some transactions to keep him in the loop. But yeah, I mean, Adam's done a really good job. You know, he's 4-2 currently. I mean, you look at his running back, he's got Lynch, who's been great. Lynch has put up like 100 yards almost every game. And he's doing this with D'Angelo Williams as one of his running backs. Amendola is out, you know, we don't know when he's going to come back, but that was like expected performer on his team. And, you know, a lot of question marks with Fitzgerald going into the season just because of how bad the quarterback play is, but Fitzgerald's even performed well. And then there was all that stuff with Wes Welker at the beginning of the season where maybe they were phasing him out. But nevertheless, you know, keep in mind, you always got to remember in fantasy football, it's a lot about matchups too. Like sometimes your record is not always, you know, an indicator because sometimes you maybe play a piss poor person, but to his credit, he has managed a 4-2 record, and that's all you can ask for to be in fourth place at this time.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts? Who's the most surprising team on the good side?
On the good side, the most surprising team for me is going to be Derek's team. And you guys gave me a lot of shit for saying that he had a good draft, but I mean, he's 4-2 right now. He's in the fifth spot in the standings. Look at his team. Like, Rashad Jennings and LeGarrette Blunt are his starting running backs this week. Somehow, Derek is winning. And, you know, I give him credit. He's making moves. I've been trying
Can I just interrupt one second? And this is what I'm talking about, matchups. His points against, he has the lowest points scored against for the season. So I'm not saying he has done a great job, but that's why to be curious if it's going to maintain because he's had favorable matchups to date.
Definitely.
So far. He has done a good job scoring, but he definitely has got the benefit of some weak
He does, and he's taken advantage of that competition. Like we talked about earlier, Brian and myself, we lost the two worst teams in the league. Derek is beating those teams. So, you know, again, a lot of it, obviously, in fantasy is luck, but for me, the surprise is the juice. You know, Derek is made up for a slow Roger start. So, Derek, you're doing a good job.
We weren't sure if he was going to win 4 all year, but he has lived up to it so far.
Brian?
I think the real surprise for me was how consistently great Megan's team has been. I thought she was going to have a good team, like a decent team, but for me, I'm really, really impressed with how her team has gelled over the last 5 weeks. She's on a 5-week winning streak. She is second in the league right now, or actually third in the league right now, I think. Fourth in the league in total points scored. She's had some favorable matchups. Some teams have definitely imploded against her, but she has just found a way to win. Her record tied for first place right now. I think she's definitely set herself up very well with her team for a good playoff run. I was really impressed with how Megan's team is performing.
And she knocked off the undefeated Gilman, so you got to tip your hat for that.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Most disappointing team. I think there may be some consensus here. I'm going to take a guess. But Spencer, most disappointing team so far?
Well, you know, I look at the champ from last year, and Eric hasn't really lived up to, you know, his self-proclaimed expectations. We definitely gave him a good review. I think he came in as the third highest ranked team going into the season. You know, he hasn't performed. However, I'm not completely shocked because what did we point out? We said you don't have a quarterback, and really you need a solid quarterback to make it through this season. He put all his money in running backs, and he's been struggling. Now, he just pulled off a trade with myself for Ponder, Christian Ponder, who is surprisingly – yeah. You say that name and you would laugh, but Ponder actually has played pretty well to date. So that could be what turns his team around. You know, McCoy hasn't been as dominant as we've seen in the past, and that has a lot to do with just the Eagles' offense in general has been horrific. You know, a lot of question marks with this team. I mean, he's playing Philip Tanner this week in his flex. That's all you really need to know about. I mean, you look at what his running backs are currently. He currently has Andre Brown,
concussion,
Baron Batch, and Philip Tanner on his team. Two of the guys he's playing this week. Those are three backup to the backup to the backup players on teams right now. So, I mean, he's definitely pulling out all the stops to try to keep things going. He's got great receivers in Julio Jones and Torrey Smith, but they are kind of hit or miss type guys, you know, that you get all or nothing with them sometimes. So he's definitely got some question marks. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, he's still got a chance. He's still got talented players. He can still turn it around. The other guy probably has got to be Nick. I mean, we rated Nick with the highest review. We did say we wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I said that at least. I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't end up making it even to the playoffs just because you look at his team and, you know, there are some stinkers out there possibly. But
well, plus, he also got this Jeremy kiss of death.
He did get the Jeremy review that, you know, is the kiss of death. But, you know, I think – you know, Nick, to his credit, he is making transactions on a weekly basis, so he's staying with the team and he's trying to turn it around. So it's not over for him yet.
Jeremy, most disappointing team.
If you have the starting quarterback in the New England Patriots, if you have the starting running back in the New England Patriots, and if you have the starting tight end in the New England Patriots, you should have a winning record. Brian Martinson somehow is 2-4. You know what? Every time I do my rankings, my weekly rankings, I want to put Brian in the top three because Tom Brady, Reggie Wayne, AP, Stephon Ridley, Gronkowski, Trent Richardson. Those guys alone should have Brian in the top of the league.
Point.
I don't know.
And from a point standpoint, it does.
I'm
third. I'm third in the league in points. So what's your point?
My point is you're 2-4. You're playing with fire. You're playing with fire. You're tied
and
with Spencer.
I do want
myself,
to also point out you're
Keith
2-4.
And Nick. Yeah, but look at my roster compared to your roster. I got Michael Vick. You have Tom Brady.
Yeah, look at the points against me versus the points against you.
I'm not saying
literally 80. There's like almost. There's more than 80 points separating.
It's getting angry. I will say to Brian's defense, because I'm kind of going through the same thing right now. I've just had some bad. You just have some shitty things happen to you. I feel like, and Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but like maybe your thought process is if I get into the playoffs, I know I'm a good team. I know I can beat any of these
Absolutely.
Teams. I mean, that's kind of how I feel. If I can just get to the playoffs now, based on my history, there's no guarantee of that. But I feel like with Brian's team, you pointed out, Jeremy, he's got a very stacked team, but for some reason, they all haven't been able to put it together the same week.
This is very
– So if they can all click –
This is very similar to last season where Brian had a very good team. He started at, 0-3. He had some tough losses. And, Brian, I get that you went up against Reggie Bush and you put up 40 points. You went up against Spiller 40 points. You went up against Nick's team who everyone put up 40 points. My thing, though, is with you is that you've got a very good team. The problem is, and what happened last season, is that you've got to now make up those wins. And if you get a couple, if you get a couple more losses, listen.
I don't need to make up the. I'm right now in sixth place.
Exactly.
And I right now am in the driver's seat of the losers division because I fully expect that to continue. And like honestly, Jeremy, where are your victories coming from?
Over you.
I'm
saying you've got a good team, but my point I'm trying to make is what happened to you last season where you had you and Eric had the two best teams. What happened though?
And I finished in third place. Where did you finish?
I finished, I don't know, fifth or sixth. But what I'm saying is that unfortunately
didn't I beat you in the playoffs?
Brian, let me say my point. What I'm saying
I think I beat you in the playoffs, didn't I?
Yeah, you beat me in the playoffs. So you had a better team. Oh. What I'm saying to you is what's going to happen is you're going to end up playing Gilman or Megan in the second round unless you start getting some wins.
And I'll beat them.
I don't think Jeremy, you weren't in the playoffs.
I was. I had Tebow as my quarterback. Tebow.
I made the playoffs.
I lost in the second round.
I thought you had like the third overall pick or something.
Brian, what I'm saying is that you've got a good team. I'm one of the biggest supporters of your team. But what I'm saying is that if you get a couple more losses, you're going to be playing a Gilman or Megan most likely in the second round of the playoffs, and you do not want to play them until the finals. So to me, the fact that you're two and four with your roster, I expect
Adam and Derek to collapse. They're, you know, they're riding high on wings of wax, and they're going to fly too close to the sun. They're going to collapse. I have every confidence that that's going to happen. I think the three legitimate best teams in the league right now are Gilman, Dan, and Megan's, in no particular order. I think they're just really stacked teams. So if I can get into the mix and then get a favorable matchup, I think I'll be fine. I'm more concerned about you, Jeremy, to be perfectly honest.
Am I your most disappointing team?
you're a team full of meh. Like, you... let's just look at your roster right now, shall
we? Wait, are you calling him the most disappointing team?
Well, I mean, honestly, I was actually going to go with Eric until I got this needless broadside from Jeremy. And
all right, all right. So you're basically turning this into a weekly rant. We already had a weekly
rant. We know it's me next week, people.
Save it for next week if we can rant.
No, I mean, for me, I think the most disappointing team so far has legitimately been Eric. Eric's team has massively underperformed. He's had some fairly questionable management decisions. You know, we obviously talked about his quarterback issues leading up into when we talked about the draft review. The problem I have right now with what he did with this, and I told Jeremy in G-Chat a couple days ago when this trade came up, I was like, yuck. This trade reeks of desperation. He almost strained a hammy getting San Francisco defense to begin with. I think he picked him up in the eighth round. He horrible stretch to even take them that early to begin with. And then he trades them for Christian Ponder? I mean, really? Christian Ponder is your great white hope to turn around your quarterback situation? I mean, does anybody think that's just the most ridiculous thing? Christian Ponder has played above his head in terms of...
Well, but, I mean, look, the trade... I don't consider at this point the trade to be a failure for him. I mean, I think the failure is, yeah, drafting the Niners as early as he did, but he has a need, and...
Who do you think got the better of that trade, Spencer? You or Eric?
You know, Ponder will get more points going forward.
Will he get more?
It remains to be seen. My whole thing is I'm looking for stability. I'm just looking for something on the defensive end to get me like at least 5 to 6 points because apparently the Philadelphia Eagle defense, you know, they've had an offensive coordinator coaching them the last 2 years.
I agree. That's all you need to know about the Eagles defense. What you got out of that was a stable defensive position.
Right. And that's the thing is like
he got a bye week replacement at best.
Because I picked up Ponder. I didn't need Ponder because I have Drew Brees. He has a huge quarterback issue, so he's got to give something back. And I most likely there wasn't better offers out there. I don't know. I really thought him and Nick would probably talk more since Nick has Roethlisberger
and Stafford.
But you know what? I was able to jump in and just get something. Look, Ponder, if I had it my way in a couple weeks, he'd probably be cut. But I knew there's some teams out there that could use him. So I got something for, you know.
And Spencer.
I mean, I'll take it to San Francisco.
Spencer's
defense.
Right. I mean, look, San Francisco's defense, week one, 5 points. Week two, 5 points. Week
right,
three,
they haven't been good.
4 points. Last week's game when they played the Giants, I mean, obviously they lost. The 3 Giants. Points. I mean, defenses are – you never know what they're going to produce.
Right. It's fluky.
So,
it's very fluky.
Exactly.
Their best – half the Niners' points –
But here's the problem. Does anybody realistically think that Christian Ponder will week in and week out be a substantially bigger upgrade at quarterback than Matt Schaub?
I do.
I don't. I think Christian Ponder has been playing great. Don't get me wrong, but I think he's been playing a very limited game management role. I think the skill set that Matt Schaub has and the weapons that Matt Schaub has are...
I disagree. See, I said this, I think, on two podcasts ago. I said, you know, after watching the Jets and the Texans play, even though the Texans won that game, I really think the Texans got exposed in that game against the Jets. Like, they just... They don't have any great skill players outside of their running back. Like, they have a great running game, but Andre Johnson is not a deep threat. He doesn't stretch the field like a Calvin Johnson does... And, you know, they really rely on Owen Daniels as their go-to passing option right now. So, and the whole thing about the Texans is they rely on being in the lead. They are a team, like the Niners, built to be in the lead. That's why they run the ball so well.
How many
it allows them to control the clock.
On average per week, do you think Christian Ponder will get you above Matt Schaub?
I would say... On average, I would go with.
I wouldn't go that high, but I mean,
that's ridiculous.
Brian, would you when San Francisco?
But, well, can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? Because you're talking about I'm saying one more touchdown, and then maybe 60 more yards. I think that's very realistic. That's 8 points. Do I think he'll get 2 touchdowns and Schaub will get 1? Yes, I do.
And Brian, when San Francisco goes on a bye week, are you saying that Eric would hold on to the defense? He probably would drop the defense on a bye week. So
no, he would absolutely not. I will guarantee you that he would not have dropped the San Francisco defense on a bye week. Especially given, like, look at his roster, Jeremy. I mean, is there anybody on there that you'd be like, oh, you can't cut him? Let's look at his team and be like, who do you say, no, don't, please, don't cut him because he's far too valuable. The concussion-prone Andre Brown. Can't cut him. How about Baron?
he's a number two.
Baron Batch.
He's a number two in the depth chart.
Can't cut him. Philip Tanner. He's untouchable.
Big things from Philip Tanner.
he absolutely, come bye week, would have dropped one of those three people and picked up another bye week replacement defense.
The point is he's taken, it's not a big risk for him. He's just picking up a quarterback to see if he can kind of get things going in the right direction. So I think from a trade perspective, I think it pays off for him to experiment with Ponder, and for me, we'll see what happens. If the Niners defense is as bad as the Eagles defense, I'll get rid of them too.
I respect Eric's fantasy football mind a lot. I just don't think this particular trade addresses his greatest weakness, which is quarterback. He needed to make a big splash. Maybe he's going to make a big splash in future trades. I don't know, but this is not something that
This is why we need to get Eric or Nick on and find out if they were discussing a possible trade.
I certainly hope he's talking other quarterbacks, because if he looks at his roster and goes, job done. I've nailed my quarterback problem. I fixed it, and I think he's going to.
Ponder's got more points. He's got 30 more points than Stafford does. He's got more points than Phillip Rivers. He's got more points than Vic. I mean, it is Ponder, which is ridiculous that we're even talking about him in fantasy.
Ponder's,
but
been
he's
good.
Doing good.
He's been very good, but he also he's been very limited in what they've asked him to do, and I'm not high on him. I think Spencer got the best part of this deal, and I'll leave it at that.
All right. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. Unless anyone else had anything else to add.
Not me.
Jeremy?
Let's do it.
we just did it.
Let's do it as in, like, let's say goodbye.
Okay. Well, I want to thank once again Amy for joining us. It was a real treat to have her on. And now for the returning Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasmin, I'm Brian Martinson, and we will catch you next time.